Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, my brother Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, the 8th Perek, Yesh Nochlim. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on a moment. It was taught in the Brisa that if one writes all his assets to someone, which included slaves, and the recipient said, Yevshibahen, I don't want them, the Tanakhama says that if the second master is a Kohen, the slaves may eat Truma because the gift took effect. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says his protest voids the gift, and the first owner's heirs inherit the slaves. The Gemara clarifies, but soveach mi'karo, if he protested from the beginning, all agree the gift is void. Shasak ubasov soveach, if he was initially silent and later protested, all agree the gift is valid, and he merely changed his mind. They argue shazikalel al yidei acher, where he transferred it to him through another person who acquired it on the recipient's behalf, and the recipient was initially silent and later protested. The Tanakhama holds that here too, his initial silence proves he wanted it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds, Hochiach sofal tchilaso, his eventual protest proves the intent of his initial silence. He never wanted it and was initially silent because he reasoned, Kilomatil yadi ma'atzavach, as long as they did not reach my hand, why should I protest? Point number two is Tana Braisa that if a Shchimira says give 200 zuz to Ploni and 300 to Ploni and 400 to Ploni, ein omen will call kodem b'shar zoche. We do not say that whoever is mentioned earlier in the shtar acquires earlier. Rather, they all acquire their gifts simultaneously. Therefore, if someone produces a shtar that the Shchimira owed him money, govim akulam, he collects from all of them proportionally according to what each received. But if he said, give 200 zuz to Ploni, v'acharav l'Ploni, and after him, 300 to Ploni, v'acharav l'Ploni, and after him, 400 to Ploni, then we do say, kol kodem b'shtar zocha, whoever comes early in the shtar acquires earlier, because this expression indicates that he wants the gifts to be conveyed sequentially. Therefore, if someone produces a shtar that the Shchimira owed him money, govim min ha'acharon, he collects the entire amount from the last recipient. If his gift is not enough to cover the debt, he collects the remainder from the recipient before him, and so on. And point number three, it was taught in the Braisa that if a Shchimira said, Ploni owes me a mana, Reb Meir says, Ha'edim kosim afu pishein makirin, the witnesses may record the claim even though they do not recognize whether the claim is true. Therefore, when his heir protests his document to collect the debt, Sarkla Haviraya, he must bring proof to the claim since it was not initially investigated. The Chachamim say the Eidim cannot record the claim before determining it that it's true. Therefore, this document is sufficient proof for the claim. Rav Huna reversed the opinions and explained why Eidim should not record the claim, Mishum based in towing, because of a concern of a basin erring to allow collection with a document without further proof. Still, the halacha is we are not concerned for an erring basin. The Gemara asks, if Rava said basin does not allow a woman to perform chalitza or miun unless they recognize the people involved, because we are concerned that a future basin would mistakenly assume their identities were already confirmed. It answers that a basin relies on another basin to investigate matters, but would not rely on aiding to do so. So once again, the three points are, number one, it was taught in the Braisa that if one writes all his assets to someone, which included slaves, and the recipient said, Yevshibahen, I do not want them, the Tanakhama says that if the second master is a Kohen, the slaves may eat Trum because the gift took effect. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says his protest voids the gift, and the first owner's heirs inherit the slaves. The Gemara clarifies, but soveach mi'karo, if he protested from the beginning, all agree the gift is void. Shasak ubasov soveach, if he was initially silent and later protested, all agree the gift is valid and he merely changed his mind. They argue shazikalel al yidei acher, where he transferred it to him through another person who acquired it on the recipient's behalf, and the recipient was initially silent and later protested. The Tanakhama holds that here too, his initial silence proves he wanted it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds, Hochiach sofal tchilaso, his eventual protest proves the intent of his initial silence. He never wanted it and was initially silent because he reasoned, Kilomatil yadi ma'atzavach, as long as they did not reach my hand, why should I protest? Point number two is Tana Braisa that if a Shchimira says give 200 zuz to Ploni and 300 to Ploni and 400 to Ploni, ein omen will call kodem b'shar zoche. We do not say that whoever is mentioned earlier in the shtar acquires earlier. Rather, they all acquire their gifts simultaneously. Therefore, if someone produces a shtar that the Shchimira owed him money, govim akulam, he collects from all of them proportionally according to what each received. But if he said, give 200 zuz to Ploni, v'acharav l'Ploni, and after him, 300 to Ploni, v'acharav l'Ploni, and after him, 400 to Ploni, then we do say, kol kodem b'shtar zocha, whoever comes early in the shtar acquires earlier, because this expression indicates that he wants the gifts to be conveyed sequentially. Therefore, if someone produces a shtar that the Shchimira owed him money, govim min ha'acharon, he collects the entire amount from the last recipient. If his gift is not enough to cover the debt, Kovim Moshel Afanav. He collects the remainder from the recipient before him, and so on. And point number three, it was taught in Braisa that if a Shechiv Meirah said, Ploni owes me a mana, Reb Meir says, Ha'edim Kosim Afu Pishein Makirin, the witnesses may record the claim even though they do not recognize whether the claim is true. Therefore, when his heir protests his document to collect the debt, Sarkla Haviraya, he must bring proof to the claim since it was not initially investigated. The Chachamim say the Edim cannot record the claim before determining it that it's true. Therefore, this document is sufficient proof for the claim. Rav Huna reversed the opinions and explained why Edim should not record the claim, Mishum based in towing, because of a concern of a base in erring to allow collection with a document without further proof. Still, the halacha is we are not concerned for an erring basin. The Gemara asks if Rav said basin does not allow a woman to perform chalitza or miyun unless they recognize the people involved, because we are concerned that a future basin would mistakenly assume their identities were already confirmed. It answers that a basin relies on another basin to investigate matters, but would not rely on aiding to do so. All right, so now we go to Tzimut Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, and this one was suggested to us by Rabbi Abba Levin from Melbourne, Australia, and by David Samuels from Johannesburg. They both suggested that Kuf Lamed Ches is a maror stock. Maror stock. So here goes. After the maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, to a friend who was quiet at first and then protested that he didn't want them, he brought a dish of maror stocks to his dying father, who was giving instructions to give 200 ziz to Reuven, and after him 300 to Shimon, and after him 400 to Levi, while Edim were writing down his father's claim that Ploni owed him money, even though they didn't know if it was true. Once again, in slow motion. After the maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, that must be run off Kuf Lamed Ches, maror stocks. After the maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, to a friend, who was quiet at first and then protested that he didn't want them, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa that if one writes all his assets to someone, which included slaves, and the recipient said, Yepshibahan, I don't want them, the Tanakhama says that if the second master is a Kohen, the slaves may eat truma because the gift took effect. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says his protest voids the gift, and the first owner's heirs inherit the slaves. They argue, Shazikolo al Yadei Acher, where he transferred it to him through another person who acquired it on the recipient's behalf, and the recipient was initially silent and later protested. The Tanakhama holds that his initial silence proves he wanted it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, Hochiach Sofal Tchilaso, his eventual protest proves the intent of his initial silence. He never wanted it and was initially silent because he reasoned, as long as they did not reach my hand, why should I protest? So after the maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, to a friend who was quiet at first and then protested that he didn't want them, he brought a dish of maror stocks to his dying father, who was giving instructions to give 200 zuz to Reuven, and after him 300 to Shimon, and after him 400 to Levi, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses when the order in a Shechiv Meirah's gift indicates the recipients acquire sequentially. If he said, give 200 zuz to Ploni, and after him 300 to Ploni, and after him 400 to Ploni, then we do say, kol kodem shar zocha, whoever comes early in the shtar acquires earlier, because this expression indicates that he wants the gifts to be conveyed sequentially. Therefore, if someone produces a shtar that the Shechiv Meirah owed him money, gova mina acharon, he collects the entire amount from the last recipient. If his gift is not enough to cover the debt, gova mishal afanav, he collects the remainder from the recipient before him, and so on. So after the maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, to a friend who was quiet at first and then protested that he didn't want them, he brought a dish of maror stocks to his dying father, who was giving instructions to give 200 zuz to Reuven, and after him 300 to Shimon, and after him 400 to Levi, while Edim were writing down his father's claim that Ploni owed him money, even though they didn't know if it was true, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that if a Shechiv Meirah said, Ploni owes me a mana, Rabbi Meir says, Ha'edim kosim afal pi she'ein makirim. The Edim may record the claim even though they do not recognize whether the claim is true. Therefore, when his heir presents this document to collect the debt, Tzarkel Haviraya, he must bring proof to the claim since it was not initially investigated. The Chachamim say the Edim cannot record the claim before determining that it's true. Therefore, this document is sufficient proof for the claim. The Gemara teaches in the Machlokes is based on the question whether there's a concern of basin towing, basin erring to allow collection with a document without further proof. So once again, after the maror farmer wrote all of his assets, including his horseradish stocks, to a friend who was quiet at first and then protested that he didn't want them, he brought a dish of maror stocks to his dying father, who was giving instructions to give 200 zuz to Reuven, and after him 300 to Shimon, and after him 400 to Levi, while Edim were writing down his father's claim that Ploni owed him money, even though they didn't know if it was true. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Kuf Lamed Daled, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Lamed Daled is a cloud. So here goes. The birds flying under the cloud, that must be run off Kuf Lamed Daled. The birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage, Learning, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa that Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. 30 of them were Ruim Shetishu Alhem Shechina K'Moshe Rabbeinu, fit that the Shechina should rest on them as the din of Moshe Rabbeinu. 30 of them were Ruim Shetamud Lehem Chama K'Yeshua Ben Nun, fit for the sun to stand for them as it did for Yeshua Ben Nun. And there were 20 between these groups. The greatest of them all was Yonos and Buziel, and the least of them was Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai. They said Rabbi Yonos and Buziel, B'shal Sheyoshev Osip G'Torah, at the time he was sitting and studying Torah, Ko'ov Shaporeh Cholav Nisraf, any bird flying over him was burned. So the birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage, a learning, dropped from the sky and landed on the head of a man who was not believed when he said that he divorced his wife in the past. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef added, Baal Sha'amar Geirashti as Ishti Ne'aman. A husband who says, I divorce my wife, is believed since he can divorce her at any time. Based on a contradiction of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, the Gemara concludes that the husband is not believed l'mafreya when he claims to have divorced her in the past, which is not currently in his power, and he is believed l'haba regarding the future, meaning he claims to divorce her now. So the birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage, warning, dropped from the sky and landed on the head of a man who was not believed when he said he divorced his wife in the past, as others question whether pagin dibura, and he should be believed regarding the future, which reminds us, having established that the man is believed to say he just divorced his wife, but not to say he divorced her in the past, the Gemara asks, Amar l'mafreya, if he said he divorced her in the past, what's the halacha about believing him only regarding the future? Mipal ginin dibur, do we divide his statement and accept the fact of the divorce, but not the date? Or is his statement not accepted at all, since it cannot be fully accepted? The Gemara will distinguish between dividing testimony when it comes to two people, such as in the case of an adulterer and the witness's wife, versus dividing testimony when it comes to one person, such as the divorce of his wife. Daf Kuf Lamed Hei, so the simon for Daf Kuf Lamed Hei is Kola. So here goes. When the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her Kola, that must have been on Daf Kuf Lamed Hei. When the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her kola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a case where a man who was presumed not to have brothers claimed the same when he was dying. Rav Yosef declared there was no concern that his wife was subject to Yibum, but Abai objected that people were saying that there were Edim in Medina Sayyam who know that this man has brothers. Rav Yosef replied with a quote of Rabbi Hanin about a captive woman's status regarding Kohanim. Edei Batzad Eston V'tiaser, there are supposedly witnesses in the north who are not present to testify and she should be forbidden? We're not concerned about possible witnesses who are absent. Abai responded that there is a difference between a shvuya and a married woman. So when the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her kola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, it splashed onto a man telling his brothers dividing their inheritance that the man standing behind him was their brother, which reminds the Gemara teaches that if one says, Ze achi, this is my brother, the other brothers are not required to share the estate with him. So when the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her kola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, it splashed onto a man telling his brothers dividing their inheritance that the man standing beside him was their brother. As the brothers discussed what they should do when their father instructed them, write and give my soda machine to Pony, and then died before it was done, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if someone dies in a daitiki, a dying man's will was attached to his thigh, its instructions are not followed since he may have only intended to give the gift with the shtar, which can no longer be given. Rav Shivzi quoted Rabbi Elazar saying that if a shchimera said, write and give a mana to Pony, and he died before it was done, we do not carry out his instructions. Shemu lo gamar haknoso el b'shtar, for perhaps he only decided to give it to him through the shtar, ve'ein shtar l'achermisa, and the shtar is not effective after his death. Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. So the simur Daf Kuf Lamed Vav is a clue. So here goes. The basin who used the date and a shtar is a clue. Clue? That must be more on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. The basin who used the date and a shtar is a clue to determine when it took effect. Mahayom Lachar Misa, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one writes his properties to his son, but wants to retain the produce during his lifetime, Rabbi Yehuda says, Sarach Sheyichtov Mahayom Lachar Misa, he must write that the gift should take effect from today and after death. The Gemara explains that this indicates that the gufa, the principal, the land itself, is acquired by his son immediately, and the peira, the produce, is acquired only after he dies. Rabbi Yossi argues and says he does not have to write mehayom. Rabbi Yossi holds zmano shel shtar mochiach lav. The shtar's date proves when it should take effect. There is no purpose in writing a date in the shtar unless he wants it to take effect from that time. So the basin he used the date and the shtar as a clue to determine when it took effect, Mehayom Lachamisa, tried to notify the father that even though his son sold the field, he would still get the whole field upon the untimely death of the son because Kinyan Aperos is Kinyan Aguf, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that where a father gifted his son property from today and after death, such that the son owns the guf and the father retains the peros, that neither can unilaterally sell the land now because of the rights of the other. If the father sells it, the buyer enjoys his rights of the produce until the father dies. If the son sells it, the buyer has nothing until the father dies, when the son would inherit the land. Amoraim discussed the law if the son sold the property and died before the father. So the Beis Din used the Danish star as a clue to determine when it took effect, mehayom l'acher misa. Try to notify the father that even though his son sold the field, he would still get the whole field upon the untimely death of the son, because kinyan haperos is kinyan haguf. But the father was already on his way to bring his bikurim and recite the bikurim psukim, which reminds us, the Gemara asks if Yochanan and Reish Lakish already argued elsewhere about kinyan peros. If one sells his field for right to its produce, Rabbi Yochanan says, maybe vikore, the buyer brings bikurim and recites the bikurim psukim because his kinyan peros is sufficient to consider him the property's owner. Reish Lakish says he brings bikurim but does not recite the psukim because his kinyan peros is insufficient to consider him the owner. The Gemara explains that both arguments were necessary. Kuf Lamed Zayin, so the Simmer Duff Kuf Lamed Zayin is a closet. So here goes. The cunning Russia who hid in the closet. Closet? That must be on Duff Kuf Lamed Zayin. The cunning Russia who hid in the closet, after advising the man who received the land with instructions, Acharecha Laponi, to sell, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that if one says, Nachasai Lacha, Acharecha Laponi, my properties are yours, and after you die, they go to Pony, and the first recipient sold the property. Rebbe says the second recipient can take the properties from the buyers because the sale is void. Mishum Gamliel says, Ein lo sheni el ma sheshiya rishon. The second recipient has nothing but what the first recipient left for him. The sale is valid and nothing is left for the second person. According to Rabbi Yochanan, these Tanaim argue about whether or not Kinyan Peros is equal to Kinyan Aguf, which would enable the first recipient to sell the property. Reish Lakish disagrees. So the cunning Russia who hid in the closet after advising the man who received land with instructions, Acharecha Laponi, to sell, and didn't realize he would try to give it away with a Matna Shchimira, which doesn't work, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan says halacha follows from Shimon Gamliel that the first recipient's sale is valid in the case of Acharecha Laponi. But Rabbi Shimon agrees that if he gave it away as a matna shchimira, a gift of a gravely ill person, it's not effective. Abai explained, matna shchimira lokana el lachar misa. A shchimira's gift only takes effect after his death, and by then the after you were second recipient already preceded him by acquiring it when the first recipient died. So the cunning Russia who hid in the closet after advising the man who received the land with instructions, Acharecha Laponi, to sell, and didn't realize he would try to give it away with a matna shchimira, which doesn't work, had a good laugh when he overheard a person being given a cow, almanas laksir, bimaktishet, which reminds us, Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying that if one gave another a shor, on condition that he returns it, and the recipient was maktishet and then returned it, arzim mukta shemukhzer, it's both consecrated and returned. It's being made hektish does not detract from his returning it. Rava asked Rav Nachman, but what did he return to him? He can't use it. Rav Nachman replied, but what is he removed from him? The ox was physically returned. The Gemara concludes that if he said, on condition that you return it, this returning is sufficient. But if he said, on condition that you return it to me, he was telling him to return something useful to him. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do Malkuk is whether it's proper to leave one's children with no Yerusha if they're not acting appropriately? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Number two, which daf to discuss the case of one who wrote all his property to his wife and then the husband's debtor came to collect it? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Beis. Number three, which daf do discuss if Aiden can record a Shchimeira's claim without knowing its veracity, or are we Hoshesh, LeBeis Din Toin? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Number four, which daf do discuss whether we're Palgin Dibura, and if one said he divorced his wife in the past, if he's believed regarding the future? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. Number five, which daf do have a question if the first recipient can sell property in the case of Nechasai Lecha V'Acharecha Laponi? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Good number six, which stuff do you know about Yossi ben Yoezer disinheriting his son, who then sold a jewel he found in Hektish for less than its value? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Gimel. Good number seven, which stuff do you have the sugya of protesting against receiving a gift, and the case of the person who was initially silent and then protested? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Ches. Good number eight, which stuff do you know about the 80 Talmud of Hillel Azakin, and the birds got burned when they flew over his greatest Talmud from Yonas and Ben Uziel? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Dalet. Good number nine, which daf to the case of Matana Manas Lachzir, where the recipient was Makdish the gift and then returned it? That's on daf Kuflamet Zion. Good. Number 10, which stuff you discuss when the order of a Shchimira's gift indicates the recipients acquire it sequentially. That's on Daf. Kuflamet Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.